All right, let's jump right in. Today's deep dive. It's all about those tricky pediatric respiratory disorders.
You know, the ones that keep parents up at night. We've got a whole bunch of research here, clinical guidelines, the works.
Asthma, bronchiolitis, cystic fibrosis, the big ones. We're going to break it all down, make it easy to understand.
So you can walk into that doctor's office feeling like, a pro.
Exactly. Ready to ask the right questions. Advocate for your little one.
Let's start with asthma. Super common, right?
Yeah. But diagnosing it in kids,
Yeah.
especially the little ones.
Under five, it can be tough.
Because wheezing and coughing, trouble breathing, that could be a bunch of things.
So many possibilities. For the older kids, five and up, we have tests like spirometry.
Clarometry, that rings a bell.
It measures lung function, basically how well those lungs are working. And there's FeNO too.
Pheno, what's that one?
It measures inflammation in the airways, helps us pinpoint if it's asthma or something else.
Okay, so those tests help for the older kids, but for the under five group, it's trickier.
It's a lot of detective work. We might try asthma meds and see how they respond.
Ah, like a trial run.
Exactly. Now, one thing the research really stresses, if your child needs albuterol a lot, that's a red flag.
Albuterol, that's the quick relief inhaler, right?
Yep, and it's great for that. But if they're using it constantly, they probably need an inhaled corticosteroid too.
To tackle the underlying inflammation, right?
And I got it. Albuterol just treats the symptoms, it doesn't fix the root of the problem.
It's like putting a band-aid on a broken bone.
Perfect analogy.
Oh.
So the key takeaway here, asthma management isn't just about medication.
It's about understanding what's going on, knowing what questions to ask your doctor.
Working together to create the best plan for your child. And sometimes, especially with those younger kids,
Yeah, what else is important?
ruling out other things like environmental triggers. Those little lungs are sensitive.
So true. All right, we've tackled asthma. Let's move on to another big one, bronchiolitis.
Parents of babies and toddlers, listen up.
This one you've probably heard of.
And here's a fun fact. Almost every child will have had bronchiolitis by age two.
Wow, really?
Yep. Usually caused by a virus, RSV, respiratory syncytial virus.
That one spreads like wildfire.
Especially in the winter, it starts like a cold, runny nose, cough.
Maybe a little fever.
Exactly. But then it can get worse. The cough gets bad, you hear wheezing.
And they might have trouble breathing.
That's when parents get worried.
Understandably. So what's actually happening in their lungs?
It's all about inflammation. The virus inflames those tiny airways, making it hard to breathe.
Plus, they get all that mucus.
Right, the body overproduces mucus, clogging things up even more.
So it's this double whammy. Narrow airways plus mucus equals trouble breathing.
You got it. But the good news is, most cases are mild.
Phew. So supportive care at home usually does the trick.
Exactly. Lots of fluids, a humidifier can help, and just keep a close eye on them.
Make sure they're comfortable, not struggling. Makes sense. But I bet a lot of parents want something to fight the virus directly.
Right. Something to speed things up. But unlike bacterial infections, we can't just use antibiotics.
So for bronchiolitis, it's about patience.
Helping their bodies fight it off. And of course, knowing when to call the doctor.
When is that exactly?
If their breathing is really labored, you see their chest pulling in, or if their lips or fingers look blue, that's serious.
Definitely time to seek help. Hopefully, though, most kids bounce back quickly.
Within a couple of weeks, they're usually back to normal. Now we've got another one to talk about, a much more complex one, cystic fibrosis.
CF. This is where it gets serious. And those research excerpts we have, they're key to understanding this one.
CF is genetic, and it all comes down to this gene called CFTR.
Okay, CFTR. It's complicated.
It is, but bear with me. This gene makes a protein that controls how chloride moves in and out of cells.
Chloride, that's a type of salt, right?
Exactly. And when the CFTR gene is mutated, this protein doesn't work right.
So this tiny glitch in one gene.
It messes up a lot of things, especially in the lungs. You know about that thick, sticky mucus in CF?
Yeah, it's like a hallmark of the disease.
That's because of this chloride problem.
So it's not just too much mucus, it's that the mucus itself is different.
Exactly. And it affects the pancreas too,
Yeah.
blocks the ducts, prevents digestive enzymes from working.
So even if they eat well, they can't absorb the nutrients.
Right, they might need enzyme supplements to help with that.
Wow. So CF isn't just about breathing problems, it's about digestion and nutrition too.
It's a multi-system disorder, for sure.
I think this is where it starts to feel overwhelming for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. But that's why we're breaking it down step by step.
Giving you the knowledge to feel empowered, not overwhelmed.
Exactly. So where do we go from here?
Well, we've got to talk about how CF is diagnosed and managed. That seems like a whole other deep dive.
It is. But don't worry, we'll cover it all. The diagnostic process, the challenges, the latest treatments.
And maybe even a glimpse into the future of CF care.
You bet. There is so much happening in CF research right now. It's really exciting.
Sounds like we've got a lot more to uncover. So stay tuned for part two. We'll be back with even more insights into CF and how to navigate this complex condition.
All right, we're back and ready to dive deeper into cystic fibrosis. Last time, we were talking about how it's not just about the lungs.
Right, remember that CFTR gene, the one that's mutated in CF?
Yeah, the one causing all the trouble.
Well, it impacts the pancreas in a big way. And get this, the damage often starts even before birth.
Seriously?
Yeah, in utero. That thick mucus can block ducts in the pancreas, preventing those crucial digestive enzymes from reaching the intestines.
So even if a baby with CF is feeding well, their body isn't getting all the nutrients.
Exactly. That's why a lot of kids with CF need enzyme supplements with every meal.
Wow. Makes sense. So managing CF isn't just about breathing, it's a whole digestive thing too.
Absolutely. Now let's shift back to the lungs for a second. We've got these airway clearance techniques, right?
Yeah, I've heard of those, but what exactly are they?
Think of them like daily routines for your lungs, like brushing your teeth, but for CF. I like that analogy.
So there's chest physiotherapy, where you clap on the chest and back to loosen the mucus.
Sounds intense.
There's also postural drainage, using gravity to help drain the mucus. And some people use vibrating vests.
Vibrating vests.
Yeah, it shakes the mucus loose, basically.
Interesting. But I imagine it's a lot to incorporate into daily life, especially for a child.
It can be, for sure. But it's crucial for preventing lung damage.
So making it a routine, part of their everyday life, is key.
Exactly. Now, another thing that might surprise you, exercise is super important for people with CF.
Really? But they have trouble breathing. Wouldn't exercise make it worse?
You'd think so. But actually, it helps. Improves lung function, strengthens those breathing muscles.
And maybe helps loosen that mucus, too.
Could be. Plus, exercise is just good for everyone, especially when you're dealing with a chronic condition.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've talked about managing symptoms. What about diagnosing CF? You mentioned a sweat test earlier.
The sweat test is the gold standard. Remember how CF messes up chloride transport?
Yeah, the whole thing with the CFTR gene.
Well, people with CF have abnormally high chloride levels in their sweat.
So this test measures that.
Exactly. It's simple, non-invasive, and really accurate. And when CF is diagnosed, it takes a whole team to manage it.
It really does take a village, huh?
For sure. Pulmonologists, gastroenterologists, nutritionists, respiratory therapists.
Wow, it's a whole team effort.
It has to be.
Yeah.
CF impacts so many different systems in the body. And one of the biggest challenges, lung infections.
Yeah, you mentioned people with CF are prone to those. Why is that?
That thick mucus, it's a breeding ground for bacteria.
So on top of everything else, they're constantly fighting off infections.
It's tough. And some of the bacteria are really hard to treat, like Pseudomonas aeruginosa.
Pseudomonas, what makes that one so bad?
It can form biofilms, basically protective barriers that make it hard for antibiotics to work.
Like a shield.
Exactly. It makes it really hard to get rid of.
So what can doctors do?
Early detection is key. Regular checkups, sputum cultures to monitor for infection. And if it does happen, inhaled antibiotics are often used.
Delivering the medicine straight to the lungs.
Right where it's needed. Now, let's not forget about those digestive problems we talked about. Pancreatic insufficiency can cause a lot of issues.
Like what?
Malabsorption, for one. The body can't absorb nutrients from food properly.
So even with a good diet, they might not be getting what they need.
That's the problem. It can lead to diarrhea, weight loss, all sorts of things.
So managing their nutrition becomes super important.
Absolutely. They might need a high-calorie, high-fat diet, plus those enzyme supplements.
High fat, isn't that usually something we try to avoid?
Normally, yeah. But for people with CF, those extra calories and fats are crucial. Their bodies need them.
It's like a whole different way of thinking about nutrition.
You're getting it. CF really impacts every aspect of life. But even with all the challenges, there's so much hope in the CF community.
That's what I love about this, focusing on the progress and the hope.
And a lot of that comes from the amazing advancements being made in CF treatment, new medications, new therapies. It's incredible.
Sounds like we're moving in the right direction. So what are some of those advancements? What's giving people with CF reason to be optimistic. We were talking about those amazing advancements, right? It feels like things are really changing for people with CF.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredible time for CF care. Remember those CFTR modulator therapies?
Yeah, the ones that actually target the root cause of CF, not just the symptoms.
Exactly. And they're developing new ones all the time, targeting different mutations more precisely.
So like personalized medicine for CF.
You got it. And it's not just the drugs. Airway clearance techniques are improving. Nutrition management, infection control.
It feels like there's progress everywhere we look.
And it all means people with CF are living longer, healthier lives. It's amazing to see.
It really is. So thinking at the future, what might CF treatment look like in 10, 20 years? What's next?
Well, I think even more personalization is coming, not just for specific mutations, but tailored to each person's needs.
Wow, that's taking personalized medicine to a whole new level. What about a cure? Is that even possible?
With gene therapy research moving so fast, I wouldn't rule it out. We might see a cure for CF in our lifetime.
A cure? That would be unbelievable, changing so many lives.
It would be a huge accomplishment, showing what we can do when we put our minds to it.
It's exciting to think about. So for parents listening, maybe feeling overwhelmed by a new CF diagnosis, what's your message to them?
I'd say CF is serious, but there's so much hope. We're making amazing progress. With the right care, kids with CF can live full lives.
That's a powerful message, and it speaks to the strength of the CF community.
It really does. Their resilience is inspiring. They never give up hope, and neither should we.
Well, we've covered a lot today. Asthma, bronchiolitis, cystic fibrosis. We talked about the causes, the symptoms, the treatments.
We even touched on those special challenges for preemies. There's a lot to pack in.
But hopefully you're leaving this deep dive feeling more informed, ready to advocate for your child's respiratory health.
Remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand, the better you can navigate these challenges.
We'll be back next week with another deep dive, a whole new topic to explore. Until then, stay curious.